Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And I am over my sickness. I was a two-sided rocket for 3 days. It was...
That sounded rough.
It was pretty terrible to... At points, I literally felt like Reagan from The Exorcist. So I was hallucinating. I projectile vomited.
Did you spider crawl?
Yep. That's actually how I got to the bathroom. It was the only way I could keep from throwing up in the bed was to spider crawl.
Makes sense.
Any good hallucinations?
That's why she did it. Makes much more sense now. She wasn't possessed.
Exactly. It was the way to keep the split pea soup in. Yes, I did hallucinate, and I had some good ones. I dreamed. So at one point, I decided to break my fever by being cold, and Kate had watched the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and I decided, like, in my slumber, like, every part of me that was cold was a different Beverly Hills housewife, and I felt really great in my dreams because Kate had a lot of friends who were really rich who could bring down my fever.
Were the Richards your favorites, or who cooled you off the most?
I think it was Lisa Vanderpump. I think it was,
that makes sense.
It was the cast from Sir, and they were
British accent.
Yeah, it was Jax and James. I've been watching a lot of that show, both of them. Mm-hmm. So I know, not intimately, but I know Housewives and Vanderpump Rules quite.
Dog's name? Is it Gigi?
I don't know the dog's name. Damn it.
You're not.
You caught the one.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing.
So much, I don't know any of the characters.
Found your blind spot.
I only remember having a fever twice in my life where I, like, one.
What once was the cure for it?
More cowbell.
Yes.
first time I remember, I was right out of high school, and I heard screaming in my head, and I went and laid in the tub because it wouldn't stop. And I, like, got into the tub, put a bunch of pillows over my head because I could not make the screaming stop.
Wow.
My mom said, like, the next morning she found me, and she kept calling me, and she found me in the tub, and she was like, "What are you doing in the tub?" I was like, "I couldn't make, like, these screaming in my head stop." And she's like, "You probably had, like, 105 fever."
Yeah.
And,
or a psychotic break.
I'm fine now. It's fine. Everything's fine. I could be in a clinic right now, and you guys all may be in my head. I may not have ever recovered.
It's true. God,
what if we are all just figments of your imagination?
We could be in the...
Have a horrible imagination.
Yeah, we could be in the snow globe that is your brain.
Or Scream Queens.
I think I hallucinate a lot when I have... I think I get really high. When I have fevers, I think they get really high because... Several years ago, I had something that was very similar to this and dreamed that my pillow was talking to me, and it was my only friend. But yeah, I was horrible.
Oh, that was true.
I thought I was just getting hungry, and I was like, man, I really want some pizza. But as soon as I got off the phone, as soon as I got off Skype with us, I was yarking. It was the worst. I kind of wish it had happened on the podcast so you guys would have that.
That would have been something.
Like...
Maybe we'd have made it onto greatest podcast moments of 2015.
I know. We just missed it. We just missed it, guys.
I had that right before Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, mine was only a day, lasted only a day, but it was rough.
Mine was a day, but I relapsed. And because, like, the next day I still kind of had a fever and felt terrible. And I decided, like, you know what'll feel good to end this fever is getting into a piping hot shower. I got in the shower and immediately was like, oh,
fever
fuck,
rookie.
I was a fever rookie. And I was like, this is going to be epic. And as soon as the hot water hit me, my stomach was like, oh, hey, guess what? You have food in you. And I managed to get out of the tub or out of the shower and start throwing up. But when I threw the lid up, it bounced. And so I puked and it bounced back. And then I yarked all over the top of the toilet seat.
Did you clean it up everywhere.
I cleaned most of it up.
Well, you felt bad.
I felt terrible. And like, what was... So it was one of those situations where Kate got it ready for me. So, like, she put the towel on the toilet, on the lid, because she was taking care of me because I was in bad shape.
You assumed the position.
And so there was a towel on there. So I had to, like, grab the clothes and stuff she had ready for when I was supposed to get out, and I flung them and was opening because it was, like, coming. Like, it was ready to go. And I puked. Now, this episode is not for menophobes. but yeah, it was horrifying. I will never eat. I don't know that I'll ever eat
pizza.
No, it wasn't pizza. I didn't eat that night. Like it was. I think I might have got the norovirus, mm-hmm. which comes from feces being in your food. Because I got some organic broccoli and some organic squash, and I think it might have had fecal matter on it. And
it's all the problems that Chipotle's having.
So I.
I don't have that problem.
I will never eat broccoli, man. That's.
I had that. I couldn't eat after getting sick once in Savannah. I couldn't eat Chick-fil-A for like 3 years.
Ugh.
And then what are the things called that they make out of pecan? Pralines.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, ooh.
I was sick when I was at the candy kitchen in Savannah, and I still can't eat them. And then it's just not. But Chick-fil-A, I kind of. Relax.
It's
back.
Good. Well, it's, you know, you're, oh, okay. I was going to say it's, you know, you're saving hatred by not eating there.
I don't eat there often.
I got food poisoning from eating. I went to see one of the Bond movies. I can't remember which one. I think it was the one with, like, what's her name, Christmas, who comes twice or a year or something.
The World Is Not Enough.
I think I saw The World Is Not Enough. That was like 2003-ish, right? And I went to go see it at the Dollar Theater, but beforehand I went to Sbarro's in the mall and got like I got like a broccoli and spinach pizza or something. It's like this the worst beefy. I think. The worst. And then I got, for some reason, I went to the Great American Cookie Company and got a cookie sandwich with like a lot of cream between it.
Double.
And I didn't get, I didn't eat one of those for a decade. Like every time I saw I didn't eat like icing or frosting for years after that.
I know what I'm getting before going to that theater is a cookie company, Great American Cookie Company cookie. A full, like, big cake size one.
There you go. I'm like, okay now.
You can't bring that in here. I was like, well, you're going to watch me eat this fucking thing.
I'm going to eat this slowly.
You stuff it in your jacket and it's like in front of him and say, oh, I can't.
I just want to eat the whole thing while looking him in the eyes. Like, this is what you asked
don't
for.
Don't break eye contact.
Just stand in the way of other people who are just trying to go to the movie and go, no, no.
I'm in line.
They're assigned. Making me wait. No, you're gonna get there. You're not gonna get a better seat. They're assigned already. Eat a dick.
I'm just gonna hold up this line.
So, yeah, Sbarro is a first class ticket to Diarrheaville.
Yeah, it's like heat. Kind of still delicious. Pizza.
Yes,
yeah.
I will totally eat Sbarro still, only knowing that I have to be near a bathroom with
him. It is definitely like heat lamp pizza is never a good thing.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's just waiting there. It's fucking pepperoni and the goddamn mushrooms with all that garlic on them.
It's good, but it's also bad.
Each slice is the size of like a 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm. That's the best part about it.
For mall Chinese food, though.
Yep.
Like whenever I go to the mall, I don't hit Sbarro because I have to do mall Chinese food.
I've been witness to that a few times.
Got to get that MSG, man. Got to get that MSG.
Man, I got it. I'm an adult. I can make money. I think like
both of them. I don't. Don't tell me you don't do both, do you?
I think I'm at the point where I can afford to do both.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't.
I
but
almost
I
turned
could.
Around to tell someone this. It's so crazy.
I've always wanted to meet a guy who did that.
Tyler gets both.
Brian,
I remember when Chick-fil-A was the only thing I get them all because that's the only place you could get it.
Yeah,
and it was so exciting.
It was like that.
And now it's like.
Brian, I have a question.
All right, Tyler.
Changing gears. Have you ever been drunk on Christmas?
I don't think I have.
Lona?
Yes. Yes.
What happened?
My dad buys extremely cheap wine that he plies his children with. We call it truth serum because when all three of us get together several Christmases in a row, each child would get too much wine and then get angry at our dad for all of the things that have happened in our childhood. And it turned like these like huge debacles. And I did it 1 year. Kristen did it 1 year. My little sister did it 1 year, and it was actually the best because it was the year that Les Mis came out. And so we had plans to go see Les Mis on Christmas Day. And so she'd gotten really drunk on Christmas Eve, and she drank an entire bottle of whipped cream-flavored vodka.
Oh, Jesus.
And she woke up the next day, and she was just disgusting. Like, she smelled like whipped cream vodka. It was just peeking out of her pores. And she got in the passenger seat of my car to come back from to Athens to watch the movie with me. And she just laid down and she just like emitted this sad odor for like 2.5 hours.
Like a really cheap Yankee candle.
She was a living Yankee candle. It was terrible.
We've experienced Tyler and I have both experienced your sister being too drunk to do anything the next day.
You have, Reed, haven't you?
Champies in Chattanooga. We were eating. We had to bring fried chicken to a window.
That's
and
right.
She was laying down in the car then too.
You're like, eat it, Tina, eat it.
Fat lard.
Yeah, I me either. Like, I don't know that I've ever been. Thanksgiving was always my holiday to indulge in too
I
much.
I used
alcohol.
To do. I, my problem with Thanksgiving is that I have eaten so much. Like, the alcohol on top of it is just overkill. It's like
take it to bedtime sitting.
Yeah, I'm already gonna fall asleep.
Yeah, I've but it was always the night before. Like when I was growing up, it was or growing up like not when I was growing up. When I was in college, I would do thanks the night before Thanksgiving. We'd always have a fish fry at my
that's
my
Thanksgiving
mom's.
Eve.
For once, Drew gets the silent
sick burn. No, yeah. So the night before, we would just get super hammered and spend the day Thanksgiving. We're like, oh, I just kind of want to eat a little bit of dressing and be done with it. So, but
you don't
no,
even get
no Christmas
for that either.
It's like Christmas is sort of sacrosanct, or is that the wrong word?
I don't know enough, but I'm gonna go ahead and say it's the right word.
It's the right word. It was sacrosanct. I'm gonna say it. So we never drunk on Christmas. Christmas is always like held in the highest regard. So, and now I don't drink, so I will never be drunk on Christmas.
I may
so
get
guys,
drunk this Christmas.
You probably should. That'll be nice.
I'll get drunk.
I tend to, or at least drink something. I don't know about getting drunk, but I tend to.
Do you always drink
more?
Do you do the unfortunate thing where you get too rowdy and accidentally swing your hands too wildly and you hit your sister and your mom's like, Drew, you ruined Christmas.
No, usually I'm in Ohio now, so.
Well,
I understand now.
It seems like at this age, though, all of the debauchery is. Sorry, Luna, what'd you say?
No, so they just don't let Drew go home for Christmas anymore because of the drinking.
I've been banned.
He gets into the nog. He just can't help but get into the nog.
Hey, shout out to the Evan Williams eggnog, though, that Southern, their eggnog. That is the bomb. Look forward to it every Christmas now. Fantastic.
This episode brought by Evan Williams eggnog.
If they would sponsor it, I would easily.
If you want breakfast and get drunk at the same time, Evan Williams eggnog.
Ooh, I made eggnog pancakes this weekend for breakfast.
I was about to say, if you want to drink pancakes, Evan Williams eggnog is for you. I think most of the debauchery at our age comes from the Christmas party and not actually the holiday. I think everybody's like done with throwing up peppermint sticks at, candy cane puke, done. And now Christmas, we can just have a regular holiday.
Are you, what made you ask that question?
Just wondering. I mean, it was just because.
Wasn't in reference to the Sororstitutes getting drunk on.
Sororstitutes? Yeah. I was thinking like they get.
But that's all a play on Margaret Kidder, right?
Yeah, probably. So this week's movie is Black Christmas. But although we said Black Xmas and that's what it said, but as in the credits it says Black Christmas.
It does.
I was surprised. I was surprised that I didn't remember that from before, but yeah, it says Black Christmas. So this is not sort of a remake next door. This is actually a remake of Bob Clark's amazing 1974 horror film,
directed by
Javier Bardem.
That's Glenn Morgan.
Glenn Morgan, who wrote and starred in the Ozzy Osbourne
Destination
and Trick or Treat, the Gene Simmons Richard or Ozzy Osbourne Gene Simmons one with Skippy from Family Ties.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That.
I mean, the reason we're doing this movie is that because we like it, and just I wanted an excuse kind of to watch it again. Drew, I'm glad you brought up.
This is my first time seeing it.
Really?
Yeah, I had never seen it before.
Man, I love it. I have a major problem with a part of it, but overall, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's a really great movie.
I'm just surprised they got George Michael to come back and redo his famous Last Christmas or Wham.
You saw the wrong movie.
Black Christmas, I gave you my heart.
No, that's such a
stretch.
Obviously,
it would be gave you my eyes.
Yeah,
I gave you my, or you took my both my eyes.
But now we're family, and it's okay.
Brian, what'd you think about it?
I came for the violence, stayed for the incest.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
It's all the notes.
Yeah, it's incest.
I will say, I'm going to go ahead on a limb and say I liked it.
Good.
Done. Podcast done. No.
Lona, what about you? Had you seen this movie before, or this is your first time?
I've not seen this before. This is my first time seeing it.
What'd you think?
I'm going to be a bummer. I did not like it.
What?
Yeah, I mean, like, it was fine. It was great background noise.
Lame.
To wrap my Christmas presents to.
Whatever. That's why I didn't pay attention.
Well, I wish someone poked my eyes out while I was watching it.
I was actually so shocked by how fucking violent it was.
It is a violent movie. It's not. It does not pull punches.
It goes there.
It does. And the fact that they got.
I went on Christmas Day.
I mean, I know that Lacey Chabert and Trachtenberg aren't like huge names, but you know, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and I mean, those are pretty. I guess what's the word for like known actresses at least to mm-hmm. be in such a fucking violent film.
Yeah, it's
in 06. They were all about the same.
I wonder though, like how much respect that Black Christmas gets in the world at large. Like I know in the horror, like in horror circles, the movie gets a lot of respect because Bob Clark and it's the precursor to Halloween and all of those reasons. But I wonder. It within the industry, how much love that movie gets? I'd be interested to know if it commanded enough respect. Yeah,
I need to rewatch the original. I know I've seen it, and I remember Margot.
No, I don't know. Outside of the horror,
Brian, have you? You said you need to rewatch the original.
I need to rewatch the original because I know I've seen it, and I don't remember very much of it. But if this movie follows pretty closely, then. I don't.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all. There's more of a. There's more of a, like. There's like a pregnancy angle. Like one of the people thinks they're pregnant, and there's really no backstory for the killer in the original. Is there, Drew? That I can remember.
No, we don't really know. We don't know anything really.
And that's one of the great things about the original.
You also don't have in this one. You don't have awesome John Saxon scenes, which are always exciting.
Did he play a cop? Does he play a cop in the original?
Of course he did.
Yeah. I was gonna say he had to have played a cop.
Isn't he one of the sorority sisters' dads or something? Or no, I can't remember.
He has to be a dad.
No, I think he's just the local cop. Yeah, I think he's just the local cop, isn't it?
I think I need to rewatch the original too. I'm forgetting a lot about that movie. We don't get John Saxon, but we do get Oliver Hudson.
It's a great ending. The original has a much better ending than this one does.
Yeah. The ending to this one is Trey disappointing.
Yeah, which made me just I mean that's the thing. It does have, of course, Andrea Martin's in both. So there is that connection.
Who for the most of the movie I was thinking was Rita Moreno, and then I was like, oh, that's not Rita Moreno.
No. This movie gets no respect whatsoever. I remember going to see it on Christmas Day when it opened, and it compared to all the other crappy or even some not so crappy remakes that came out in the mid aughts there, I really liked this one.
Yeah.
It's so mean.
I think that's why.
When it's just Black Christmas, it's a black, dark-hearted movie when it really comes down to it.
Dork.
Yes.
Dork movie.
I think that's in part why it gets no respect, because it hits, you know, horror fans want movies that are more like this, but the world at large does not. And I think that's like, it's a movie that's very mean-spirited and has a sense of humor, but it's mean-spirited, it's right. Kind of satirical, and it kind of winks at the camera a little bit. I think that like most people don't want that. Like, this is the part of horror that people don't like. They don't want a really violent, mean movie because they want everything to be sort of uplifting.
The movie starts off, and when we get to the sorority house, it starts off confusing me because I don't know who anybody is. And someone has already been abducted from a room. I don't remember even really caring about any of those characters.
Yeah. Well, I do like that it does kind of begin in medias res, where it's like, we have this death, and then the night just goes. Like, I kind of like that it's just like, well, and we're off. We don't have a lot of setup. Because a lot of times in horror movies, I really hate all those scenes where it's like, oh, you're going to hang out with your mom. This, like, all of the scenes where it's like setting up the... exposition.
And who is Oliver Hudson there to bang anyways? Is he banging
all of them?
Oliver Hudson.
That's how sororities work.
Right. He has
exactly. He's the local
sisters.
Go ahead.
He's the local culture.
Oh, gotcha. He's the one that they're the local flavor that they're all sampling.
Yeah, he's the townie, and that's the thing. That's a connection to the original because Olivia Hussey's character has, I think, Keir Dulay from 2001 is the local boy in that one, and so that's the connection going kind of back to that.
Yeah, I think I
one as well. I mean, I like how, like, the original starts with that awesome, you know, POV shot, very Halloween-esque POV shot. And I like how this one opens with not that, doesn't try to cop that, but it does open neatly with a pretty nasty opening kill.
There is a, well, this movie has a lot of canted angles and low angles and really interesting shots. It's really interestingly shot. It's not overly lit. I love how...
And lit. Yeah, I love how it's lit.
Yeah, I love how the movie's really dark and sort of chiaroscuro a lot of time. It's not lit in the way that a lot of horror movies... Like, the inside of the sorority house isn't some, like, light-filled place. I love that it's pretty dark as well. So those are things that make it stand out from most horror movies. Like, a lot of remakes you watch, they're just... They want to highlight the beauty of the stars. Like, I'm thinking specifically of the Prom Night remake. It's just so evenly lit, and all the stars are always,
always
in the perfect light. I think that's the nadir of the remake culture.
That's the lowest of the low of all the remakes. That's like the bottom for me. Yeah.
So I think, like, in comparison to, like,
I mean, just that's, and I think this is one of the, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like, this is just the, I agree with you. Like, all the stars are evenly lit, and it's, they always have to be in the perfect light, and it just seems like it's lit almost like television, whereas this movie's lit in a really interesting way. There's a lot of shadow. The characters are
the
not...
Christmas lights and everything.
Yeah. But yeah, you were saying this is one of the what? Like, if Prom Night is the lowest of the low, like, this is the high. Is that what you're going for? Drew? I think we're...
No, I think this is the... I think this is the most underrated.
Okay.
Is the thing. I do think there are things, there are positives to be said about Rob Zombie's Halloween, although I think overall it's a failure as a remake. It's okay in its own right. And
it's
there are
disjointed
others, of course,
movie.
Yeah, and there are others that are good. I think this is the most overlooked is the thing. I just think it's shot so stylishly, like we've said, with the Christmas, everything being lit with Christmas lights for the most part, and it's just so mean, and it really goes where we as horror fans want it to go. I mean, it has everything. It's incest. Mm-hmm. It's cannibalism. It's
Santa Claus.
What eye poking out? Multiple of them.
Yes. Also, what?
I mean, it's got it all.
What kind of asylum lets someone walk around in a Santa suit at Christmas time? Like, hey, especially a asylum housing Christmas serial killer.
For the kid's wing, remember?
I just assumed it was just a psychiatric ward, not just a regular hospital, and that's why Santa was there, because he got lost. He was lost looking for the kids.
Oh, was that what it was? Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I must have missed that part.
Yeah. So maybe rewatch it.
The basic plot of the movie is this.
That wing was also 1225.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't recognize it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The basic plot of it is this. A Billy Lynn's, Yellow Bastard's younger brother, it seems, from Sin City, escapes from a mental asylum or the psychiatric wing of a hospital, and purportedly goes back to his home, which is now a sorority house, in order to wreak havoc on a group of sorority girls on Christmas. And it's pretty awesome. That's really all you need to know.
Now, was the sister living in the attic the whole time?
I don't know. I think that's one of the weird inconsistencies in the movie, because it seems like they would have heard her walking around before this night. She was released from...
You're right. I do remember that now. Okay.
The problem is they...
To pledge the sorority.
Yeah. In the very end of the movie, it has that...
Drew, we're losing you, big guy.
The problem, though, she even says, like, how long were they in there? And then Lee, the Kristen Cloak character...
We're totally... Drew, we're losing you, big guy. I don't know if you can hear me, but we're... Can you... Maybe I can cut this out, but could you start that over, Drew?
He hates it.
Let's take another call. Bob from Denver.
Oh, just like that Mr. Show sketch.
If you want to call about dogs, call... So, no. So anyway,
also, how did they let Eve in? That one nerdy.
She was her. You did not pay attention to this fucking movie at all.
I know, but I don't. What is
he didn't even watch?
What does a legacy mean?
A legacy is just somebody whose like family went to the sorority.
So do they? That means you automatically get in.
You're more likely to get in.
I mean, and also it was those people in that house. I mean, how ornery was that one sorority sister?
The drunk one. All of them. All of them were ornery. They
that would have been me.
They were. It was like the sorority always got scolded for not doing enough during the school year for charities.
You know, if you've ever had. If you've walked down Millage Avenue, you know that...
In Athens.
Yes, in Athens.
Georgia.
Beautiful Athens, Georgia, where our state's flagship university is located. You would know that all of those girls would not have ended up in the same sorority together at all.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the...
That's not how they work.
The video that someone cut together with the cult? How a cult is started, and they've cut it with the Alabama sorority... welcome video.
Mm-mm.
Oh my God. Look it up. It's so good. Awesome.
I will say that this movie, as opposed to most horror movies, the plot of the film takes a huge backseat to the backstory, which takes the front, like the story of Billy Lenz and his family is really the story here. And the deaths are sort of the collateral damage of that, but like the story of Billy Lenz is really what draws you into this flick, and it's a really interestingly told story. It kind of has the, like, it reminds me of a Christmas, like the way that it shot, it reminds me of a really dark version of A Christmas Story mixed with the Ghost of Christmas Past sequence from Scrooged, from 1988.
When I showed Attila the Hun his mother, Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
I found Billy's family to be terrifically horrible.
I would rather the movie have just been the Billy Lynn story.
Yeah, that would have been so much better just to,
Like they kept interrupting it to kill people I didn't care about.
Better is a bad description. But
yeah, I don't know.
More disturbing.
I like, though, that this is a movie where the backstory is actually the front of the movie, the front story. Like, it takes the foreground, and the kills relate around it. And I love how it sort of interweaves, and we learn a little bit by little bit. I liked that I didn't care about these characters, but that I did care about the story, which is almost non-existent. Like, I did sort of like them bickering and being drunk and hanging out in the sorority house. Like, it's kind of like The Martian in a way, because for most people, most dudes, it's not a place where people have any... It's uncharted territory. So I feel like I like that it's set there. Okay, Ryan? Are we?
That's probably I don't know how to follow that up.
Sorry, man. Did you ever visit any sorority houses in college?
Never set foot in a sorority.
Really? House. I did.
Or a fraternity house.
Man.
Did you not go to party? Were you not invited?
No,
to
I didn't go to parties, guys.
What?
I lived a very slow, sorrowful, filled life.
It's called a quiet, normal life, Brian.
No, I never went to. I've never been friends. I don't even know if I've been friends with someone who's been in a fraternity.
Yeah.
Unless it's Tyler or
I'm
Drew.
I'm sure you have.
I've not been. Yes, you have. You definitely have.
Tyler, have you ever? Were you? Didn't you almost join a fraternity?
No, but I went to a lot of fraternity parties.
I don't ever recall going to a fraternity.
I've done all of the stereotypical, like. I've done the shot luge. I've done the band parties and keg bar. Like, I've done all of that stuff, but it was.
I know it's hard for everyone to understand that a guy who parties like me would be so. I mean,
what time does this party get over?
9 o'clock.
Midnight. Ooh. We get there at 9 and get good parking.
I mean, Drew and I were doing 5 for 5 for 5 for vision. We weren't.
Well, I was doing that too. Like,
yeah, but you still have time for parties.
I
don't think I ever went to a party in college.
You're such a liar.
Listen, I was with the same person since after high school on. So we had, an insulated life. We lived together. So there was no really cause for me to go out and.
You should go to grad school.
Yeah.
I'm way too old to go to any party now.
No, you're not. You look young, Bribe.
Oh, that sounds like an awful movie. That's like a remake of Back to School.
Yeah, there we go.
It's Adam Sandler's next Netflix film.
Exactly right. Which, for some reason, I thought when I saw it, I was like, oh, they must be spoofing The Hateful Eight already. It's not a Hateful Eight spoof.
Yeah, no, it's... It's
yes,
fun.
Scott, for podcast listeners, Brian the Party Monster.
Magnificent Seth.
Brian the Party Monster never actually went to any parties.
I find that hard to believe.
I actually didn't get as like crazy and stuff until I was at like after 30.
My craziest days were after college. Like I did some crazy stuff in college, but some of the craziest stuff I did was after college. Like people I work with are mortified to learn the things that I tell them about my life. So. But anyway,
I know when I tell people about my life, it seems like I've lived some kind of rough and tumble life. But not rough and tumble. I mean, I've lived.
Brian, I don't think of you as a rough and tumble guy.
I'm rough trade.
Let's put that out on Front Street.
That year he spent on the train.
Yum.
you have never made hobo chili, Brian.
No, compared to some, I've lived a lot. Compared to others, I've barely scratched the surface. So.
6 months, I can't.
Oh, he did. That's not what you think it is.
Yeah, I was riding trains. They just weren't the actual.
It was the first class Amtrak.
First class.
Bring you food.
First class Astrak.
He had some Sparrow, and then he made some hobo chili.
Yeah. Give me a shoestring, some coffee grounds. I'll make you some hobo chili.
Yeah, Cork, I need to plug this chili spigot up.
So we need to talk about the kills in this movie. I think one of the highlights of the film is the sort of, like, it is one of those movies where the kills are interesting. Because I talked about a few weeks ago how I'm never interested in the kills anymore. But this movie invests me in them. And I liked a lot of the kills. The one that was disappointing was the death. I can't remember what the character's name is. But she was the one who got drunk and passed out and she was in the bed. I did like how she was being... Well, like how she was being toyed with, but boring. Like it's unsettling, but I think that's kind of the point. And when we learned that it was actually Billy Lynn's sister and not Billy Lynn's who was doing it, it makes it different and in a weird way. But I liked the lead up to that death, but that death the least.
Also very controlled.
It was Billy. They were together at that point.
Were they? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. That's terrifying. It's bad. There's
my brother is also my father.
I love the little touches like where she's showering and there. It's almost impossible that he would have been able to be underneath the floor, but was. I love the eyeball in the floor bit. That was
pretty cool.
There's just so much that is like not thoughtful but creative in this movie that I really liked. So what were some of your favorite deaths?
The bad death.
That's where I'm going to disagree with you on the deaths.
You don't think they were great?
No, I think that's the one thing that was uncreative. Like, they killed everyone the same way. If I saw one more something stabbed through an eyeball, through an eye socket to kill someone, I mean, that was way too overused. I thought there were some good ones, but I just thought that one was way too overused.
I think I just like the bag. I really like that movie the game Manhunt that came out.
Yeah, the
way
bag's
back when.
Awesome.
The bag over the head was one of my favorite touches, though. I love the bag over the head, the yank to the ground, and then the stab in the face. I think that's just a good way to go.
It gives you a good feeling.
It gives me a good feeling to see people stabbed in the eyeballs like that.
Because, you know, they know nothing is going to end well, but they don't know how poorly it's going to end.
Exactly.
This is not right, but I don't realize how wrong it's about to be for me.
Yeah.
I feel like they wasted too many eyeballs. Like eating them so much. Why were they stabbing so many of them? That's one of two each time.
Yeah, but you got to find a way to pop them out.
They did. They knew how. They were popping them out pretty swell.
So,
and like, were they swallowing them whole?
Oh, he chewed a few.
Yeah, remember that one scene?
Like, it's just
all the juices came popping out.
I feel like it's a
choking
hazard, and that's what I kept thinking about the whole time. I was like, they're going to get like all excited and accidentally choke to death, and that's how this is going to end with the killer accidentally choking to death on someone's eyeball.
Hey, speaking of things popping, today I was working in another lab and I went to cut into a mass and it popped and it sprayed bloody, pulpy, pussy juice out all over the place. It was something. It was amazing. How far it arced up off the table I was working on. I was like, Jesus Christ.
You should get the popping subreddit. You would be a star.
Oh, my God. It was like, I was like, it's so hard. It's like, it must be a solid, you know, subcutaneous mass. It's just like nothing but fat underneath there. And as soon as I cut it, it was like, into space. Yeah, it was horrible.
Did it get like on the...
Tales of the... I almost said Tales from the Moratorium. Tales from the...
Tales from the Pathology Lab. Yeah.
Do you clean that up or you just leave it?
No, I call housekeeping. I'm like, over here.
Does someone clean it?
Like, I clean it.
Excuse me, housekeeping.
Gross.
Housekeeping, housekeeping.
They're like, oh. I was like, somebody needs to clean this up. Like, well, aren't you a blood janitor? Isn't that what you do for a living? You clean it up.
But you only clean up blood.
I was like, it was a mixture. It had blood in it, too.
Be like, I left this part.
They're like, well, Brian, we see that's like 50% blood, so it's on you.
You should just clean up the 50% that's blood.
It was mixed together.
Just clean up 50% of it then and say, exactly. I got 50%
the
of it.
Stuff that was
this was my half.
The stuff that can go wrong in a body just horrifies me on a daily basis.
There's, I think Blood Janitor would be a great metal band name.
Yeah.
Or
the new album from Blood Janitor.
On my last yearly review, that's what they put. They're like, Brian, I know we had Lab Tech 3 down, but we're going to go ahead and scratch that out and call it Blood Janitor. Is that okay? I guess.
Sounds like a good new script.
They're like, now you went to college, right? And they're like, I said yes. And they went, and they just laughed at me. They're like,
well, then that's how you became Blood Janitor 2.
I got Blood Janitor 3.
I think Blood Janitor would also be a good horror movie.
Yeah.
Blood Janitor.
He gets obsessed with a pretty young vet student.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like 1 hour photo, but Blood Janitor.
Tries to shove her down the drain.
Oh, here's the twist. Here's the twist. He's not actually a killer, but this girl that he falls in love with, she is a killer, and he cleans up her, like, she doesn't realize it, but he cleans up her messes for her that she leaves when she murders people, and he keeps her from getting caught, and so that's the movie.
A great movie ideas.
I think that's a movie. Drew, what do you think? Your silence is mortifying. I think that's a movie.
It could be. I think it's a franchise we're dealing with right now.
Blood Janitor, and it's kind of like what was the Jake Gyllenhaal movie where he's the night photographer?
Nightcrawler.
Huh?
Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler. It wouldn't be a slasher movie. It would be of the
worst X-Men spinoff.
It would be what? The worst X-Men spinoff.
Nightcrawler.
X-Men Blood Drenner. Yeah.
Nightcrawler was. Yeah.
I think it would be a good like that. It would be that tone. It wouldn't be a slasher movie. It would be that sort of dark, dramatic tone, and you would just see a lot of violence. You would experience a lot of violence, but it would not be like a horror movie. And it would be called Blood Janitor. Brian? What you think?
I wrote it down. So that and Fear Sighted. I think we got our own little
Blood Janitor and Fear Sighted.
Fear Sighted's better right now.
Well, it's more developed. I think this is a mature idea.
I feel this is a little more in the Lucky McKee vein, though.
I think it'd be more of a. I mean, guys, we are
David. I'm thinking David Fincher.
We are good director. I don't want to shoot for the stars, but I am going to say I'm looking at David Fincher.
We're going to reach out to those people. So
long, drawn out shots, beautiful.
Long drawn out shots of a beautifully grimy environment.
Like I want to see blood circling a drain and it mixed with like the water and stuff like that and just like makes that slow motion kind of
3 minutes.
Couldn't you just watch Dexter?
Why gonna
Drew? Drew,
you're like a Billy Lynn's victim. You can't see the end product.
Ooh. What is it that he has? What is it when you turn yellow? That's
jaundice. Liver disorder is what they called it.
He had that bilirubin disease. It's scary.
Billy
Reed disease.
Billy Reed disease. Hmm. I'd like to have that disease.
I would too. But I think the movie works, but also kind of. I mean, like, I like the interplay between the idea that it's a brother and sister who are also father and daughter. Let's get into that. Let's go ahead and jump into incest, guys.
Head first right into it.
Well, being from North Georgia,
where
dads take their daughter's virginity.
Expert.
Their 13th birthday.
Right. This is known.
It's widely known.
It is known.
I was very comfortable with it. I kind of liked it a little bit.
I was so disturbed.
She's like, why is this a horror movie?
I was like, Daddy, they made a movie about us. That's crazy.
That mom was just so ready for some dick that she could not take it when the dude passed out.
I like it when she realized, oh, there's a dick up in the attic. Oh, I hadn't jumped.
Hold on a second. This guy is asleep.
And maybe how fertile is that bitch?
Just very.
Like, jump on her 12-year-old.
So,
or is she? There's like two, like she's had two kids.
But I thought
that's true.
The,
she did have
two. Yeah, but I thought the guy was impotent, which was why she wasn't having kids. Because he, you know, didn't complete his task.
So, but my question is that why she went to her son? Is because he was impotent, I think.
Hmm? She thought he was hot. She's like, look at those little baby whiskers.
She's like, I'm gonna get that yellow dick.
I'm gonna rub them with my titties.
I think she was like, she was just so turnt on the fact that she was wanting to get some that she was like, man, if I don't get this. You know, if I don't get my nut off tonight, I'm not going to be able
don't
to.
Don't ever say turnt
sometimes,
again.
Sometimes
don't. No, Lona, I have to stop you there. Brian, don't ever say turnt again.
Why?
You can't pull it off.
I just did.
No, you didn't. You
she
said
was so
it.
Turnt on, you know, getting
no,
off.
That's not how you use that word.
Her turntness was so high.
She's like, if I don't get my.
The turnt factor.
So you're like Jane Austen using it.
She was
turnt.
She was deeply turnt, so she went upstairs to the attic.
She's like, if I don't get this horniness turnt off, I'm gonna go to bed. All sorts
sister
of
sister was turnt.
Women get real bitchy when they have the female equivalent of blue balls. So like, she was saving everybody some stress there by taking care of business.
I might go to bed with Darcy.
Do you think it's that she, but that she couldn't have another kid, and that's what she wanted because the one that she had was not what she wanted? Do you think that is ultimately why she went to
the mom was like maybe the bad guy in the movie?
Yeah, she was not a good mom at all.
But well, like, I want to know why. Like, I want to know what drove her to incest because she hated him. Like, it wasn't as though she loved him; she hated him.
She said, "I wrote her exact quote down as soon as she jumped off."
Wasn't she an alcoholic?
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, because she hated her weird little yellow baby.
But as soon as she jumped off,
he was cute. Even yellow, he's cute. He's a cute yellow baby.
As soon as she jumped,
the most racist statement ever.
Yeah, if you just pulled those lines out, oh, the yellow baby.
You're never running for office.
As soon as she jumped off of Corky Jefferson, she was like, "Look, my favorite group is Bachman Turner Overdrive, and I'm gonna do some TCOB right now, taking care of business." No.
I'm gonna let that silence. Why is that the reference? Why is that the reference that you made there?
Wait, did you actually write that down? So you
no, I didn't. I just came up with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like I'm just interested in the mom's psychological state. Like why incest at this moment?
She just had 15 years of postpartum depression.
Just and it just culminated in that. Like this is, it's kind of a VC Andrews movie at
Why
this point.
Why does she hate the dad? He seemed pretty nice.
I know,
she hated him.
Nice.
She hated him because he was nice. He was not as strong as she was, and
she was mad that her baby had liver.
He was strong.
Well, yeah, he was pretty strong. He stayed. You know, he
older
was
than she was. Like he went
well,
to Quezon.
He was strong, but he was also like a weak piece of shit for not taking that baby and walking out of that house and leaving her in her misery. That would have been a strong man.
He looked like Siler from Heroes. What's his name?
I've never seen that show.
Oh. Siler from Heroes?
Yeah. What's his name? He's also in Star Trek. Huh?
Zachary Quinto?
Yeah, Zachary Quinto. Yeah, kind of had a,
like Zachary Quinto.
He did
right.
kind of had a Zachary have a Zachary Quinto vibe. Brian, I figured you would have watched Heroes.
I never got into Heroes.
It's weird. Like it just seems like you would have.
No, the only hero I'm a fan of is Hero Protagonist from Snow Crash.
First season
I do like
good.
That's a good pull. I like that reference. Good. I want to take a moment for Brian on that. That's a great pull. Yeah, Neal Stephenson, Snow Crash, 1992. Look it up.
I'm 50% done with it.
The reference? I want to hear. Oh.
Yeah, the reference. Here's the other one.
Oh, you're just now reading it? So good.
The mom said, look, I know what it's like for you to come out of my vagina. Now I want to know what it's like for you to come in my vagina.
Circle of life.
Yeah, and then Elton John. The circle of life.
So do you think the daughter spent her in did she spend most of her life in an asylum and was recently released or like
can you feel
my vagina tonight?
Come bad.
Yeah, she was. I mean, I imagine
they say that at the end. Yeah, they say that.
But why would they have released her? She's very obviously not okay.
America's mental health system is broken.
This is really a commentary on how America treats its
one-eyed crazy ladies.
So do you think that
they thought she was harmless because she was like 30, and they're like, "Ah, you're useless."
Do you think that too many movies, like I think this is outside of it, but as a larger question, do you think that horror movies overuse the asylum trope and sort of make stigmatize mental instability unfairly? I'm gonna let that silence linger. I'm gonna stay quiet until you answer, Brian. What do you think? Like, I kind of am starting to get, like, I think we've had enough escapees from asylums movies.
I think we're talking about horror films. So these aren't people who just don't like their job and they, you know, snap one day and shoot somebody up in an office. That's
the news.
Yeah, that's the news. These people are...
Don't confuse horror movies with the news, because they are like the same thing now.
These people are, so much worse. If I can use a medical term, bananas. So, absolutely bananas.
They've turnt bananas.
They got turnt on mental health.
But do you think that's too easy a trope to fall back on? Like, it's easy to say, like, oh, it's too easy a shorthand. Like, I get it. I understand. I really do.
Where do you think Blood Janitor is going to take place? The movie Blood Janitor is going to take place in an asylum.
No, it's not.
These are pre-med students.
Wrong. It's my intellectual property.
The asylum deal was Billy, who had killed his family at that point and getting put away. I mean, Agnes wasn't crazy. She was put in an orphanage, and then finally no one took her. And
she got crazy.
She got turnt.
Brian.
So she escaped or was released, I guess.
No, what happened. I'm just saying, like, in
obviously
general.
Having a dad like Billy and a mom like Mom. And only one eye.
I think it's partly... I just think that the ease with which horror movies fall into the shorthand of, like, you know, you can throw a sorority girl and hit an asylum movie, or like
can't swing a dead cat at a sorority girl and an asylum.
I know.
I think people are more comfortable with that. People are more comfortable with your killers being crazy. You're more comfortable with that than someone just being evil and shitty.
I just think it's the same thing as the cabin in the woods. Like, it's an easy answer, but I also think, like, we've gone too far in stigmatizing. Like, I'm not, this is not my, like, a battle I'm going to fight, really, but I do want it in the record and duly noted that I kind of agree that there are too many movies where it's like escaped mental patient. Like, so many, we should at least acknowledge here that most people with mental illness are not violent and are not, like, I think the majority of people think people with mental illness are violent and...
Well, no,
that's
because
not true.
Not everyone in that hospital was killing orderlies.
He's the outlier, but the overwhelming majority of horror movies which feature asylums make them the other. Like, even that show Scream Queens goes a long distance in stigmatizing mental illness.
Or American Horror Story Asylum.
Mm. Or anything that features an asylum. Or the movie Grave Encounters or Grave Encounters 2.
Speaking
of good Christmas episodes.
I think that's
totally.
You're saying asylum. This isn't a mental hospital. This is an asylum.
Yeah, but, like, most people are, I don't know. Like, I just think that too many horror movies feature this specific.
I mean, you got normal crazy, and then you got turnt crazy.
There is a
half turnt.
It's called crunk. Crunk is only half turnt. Crunk is one half of a turnt.
She sprained her turnt.
She dislocated her turnt.
During the scene where the girl
in the horseback event, she sprained her turnt.
During the scene where they're in the wall of the house, I'll just let this one go.
I think the movie Schizo was where it went too far.
Hey, the what?
Does one use an air cast for a trick?
I think you can only bandage a sprained turnt.
I wish I shared this enthusiasm
I just think the phrase sprain turnt is my favorite.
Like, oh, poor Becky, she sprained her turnt. She's not going to be able to wear clothes formal.
She's going to have to sit on an O-ring for a month because of her turnt.
Her turnt may never be the same. It may only operate at 80% turnt the rest of the
time. Guys, can we get serious?
About her turnt?
Okay. Okay. I think I have it together now. All right. Oh, sprain turnt has to go somewhere in the episode. We have coined a new... Ryan, thank you. At first I hated you, and then now I despised you, and now I loved you.
That's the way it goes, right? What's the Gandhi quote? The first they beat you, then they don't feed you, and then they have to listen to you.
Then they turnt you.
Yes.
All right.
Then you get turnt.
So... what were you going to ask, Brian? I'm so sorry. I just can't.
No, I was just going to say that the scene between the wall, I was giggling at. I mean, I wasn't laughing like you guys. I was laughing to myself, thinking of, like, all I kept thinking of is, Murph, Murph, don't let me go.
What is that?
Interstellar?
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, all right.
I haven't seen Interstellar, and now I need to. That's a movie I missed that I was like, I don't, 3 hours, man, come on.
Are you even going to see The Hateful Eight?
Yes. That's different. That's Quentin Tarantino, though.
Oh, I got you. Oh, that makes a difference now.
Christopher Nolan, it does. Christopher Nolan, though, like, I guess I should see it. It's just space sometimes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I saw the trailer, and I was like, you know what? That's going to feel like a long fucking movie. Like, it's going to, even, it's like Inception felt long.
Inception still feels long when I watch it. I'm like, I know. I was like, God damn it. That hasn't even happened yet. Come on.
Like, none of the Dark Knight movies feel like that. Like, none of the Dark Knight movies feel that long. But when I saw Inception, I was like, God damn.
You're like, God damn, this movie got me turnt.
I know.
Sitting in this chair for 3 hours, my turnt's
numb. I know. My turnt has gone numb.
I have an aching turnt.
So I liked that sequence a lot, where the characters were caught in the walls.
Interstellar gets past the Great Depression sequence.
The only things I know about that movie is space, a daughter, and cornfields. Those are the, if I had to pick three keywords, it would be those things.
You nailed it.
Space, daughter, cornfields.
Yes.
Those are the only things I know about that movie. And probably he dies, or she dies, or they something. I don't know. That's just what I figured. I was like, I'm going to watch
Sacrifice for Humanity.
It's one of the movies where I was like, I'm going to watch it, and it's just going to be a fucking bummer at the end. Just a big old bummer.
Oh, boy, I cried.
I bet I will, too, when I watch it over Christmas break or not. So I loved that the movie inverses the character so that it's the protagonists or some of the protagonists who end up in the walls and the killers who are then in the house. Like, I think that's a really interesting and smart move on the part of the script. And I think that's one of the things that's really highly underrated about the movie is that it's a really, really, really smart.
You talked about this, like the way it's shot too. When the sister falls through the wall, the very first time they're chasing through the wall, that was a creepy shot. Like, her just falling down the depths of the wall from the first floor the third floor to the first floor. It's like, man. That's some fucked up shit.
It was completely fucked up, and I really liked it. I thought that, like, what do you think of the sister character who shows up at a certain point? Like,
I felt like I missed something. Like, why is she here again?
Yeah, why was she there to pick up her sister?
She was there to draw, like, the parallels between family.
The first sister.
She's a metaphor.
The first sister that died that we don't even see.
Is that the first person who dies? Is her sister
the one in the chair, rocking chair up top?
The one who is having such a hard time writing, you know, to and from notes.
But see, narratively, that makes sense because of the original. Like, that's kind of part of the original's story. Is like the character, like, it makes sense that she would be the one in the rocking chair because she's like someone has to die and be in the rocking chair. Like, that's just kind of the part of Black Christmas, but. it would make sense that she would be that one because she would be the hardest to find, and her sister shows up. So, like, I think, like, that for me, that makes sense, but it's still, I get it, it's still weird. Like, why the one family member show up? I guess everybody else is just, it's almost like this movie is full of people who are in their own purgatory because yes. No one wants them. It almost feels like this movie, one of the things I like about this movie, another thing I guess, is that it's so cut off from the rest of the world. There aren't any subplots where people show up. Like, there isn't like a, there aren't moments of levity where people show up and like, oh, hi, here's the moment of fun. Like, dudes show up and we're going to have sex and then they're going to die or they're going to leave. Like, it's these characters in this house for the entirety of the movie until the very, very, very end. And I really like that.
Oliver Hudson and his at-risk chin.
What does that mean?
He can, if he gains any more weight, he's going to have a double chin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree with you on that.
It's like one scene he like brings his neck back. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Slow it down, Hudson. He's good in Scream Queens. I was glad to see him.
I've yet to watch Scream Queens.
It's not great, but it's
fine. By the guy who does Glee?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's fine. I mean, it's fine. Like, it's way over the top. And
I listened to a Bret Easton Ellis interview Quentin Tarantino podcast today where they rail on the guy who does.
What is that called? I need to hear this.
Bret Easton Ellis has his own podcast.
That sounds amazing. What's it called?
The Bret Easton Ellis podcast.
Thoughtful. I would have called it American Psycho, the podcast, because he's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he is. But listening to him and Tarantino talk is pretty good.
I will definitely check that out. Recommendations.
Tarantino sounds like he's got a lot of weight on him because he's like...
Tarantino?
Yeah.
He's... Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his head is huge. Like, at this point, it's his lungs are fighting to keep his head aloft. So.
Like, when From Dusk Till Dawn, when he turned into his monster creature, it was like some weird big four-headed Frankenstein. I was like, yes. That's what I imagined.
That makes a lot of sense.
Good job, Quentin.
So, Drew, one of the things I imagine that you don't dig about the movie is the ending. Like, the coda section. Kind of the Halloween 2 version. Are you there, Drew? Fuck. I don't know. Oh, Drew's not there. Damn it! We can't hear Drew.
He's so mad he's just ignoring us.
I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that that's what he doesn't like. Because that's what I don't like. Is once the movie gets out of the house... Like, all the kills in the house, from the icicle death to the one underneath the house where Lacey Chabert, who is great, I will say, she drops her cigarette and then goes around to the side of the house for no reason at all, dies underneath the house. I thought that was an amazing kill. And, like, all of the stuff that happens in the house, great. I think part of it is that the movie is... doesn't quite push an hour and a half, and so they were like, well, we need another. I would almost venture to guess that they filmed it, edited it, and it came out to be like 75 minutes, and they're like, oh shit, we need another 10 minutes for this to have a theatrical release. And so they tacked on the ending at the hospital. What do you think?
I don't remember the ending at the hospital.
After the
I did watch the movie.
I don't know that you did watch this film.
I watched this film.
I don't know.
I don't remember any of these things you guys have talked about.
Yeah, you don't seem to know anything about what we're talking about.
Hang on. It was with the guy, I think, is Danny Masterson as the autopsy tech. Then they escape. Okay, yes. I do. I'm sorry. I kept when you said hospital, my mind was going back to the insane asylum, and I thought, did they go back there? But now, yes, when they're in the morgue.
Yeah, so that all, I don't think that works, really. And
well, they're hoping for a sequel.
Wow, they ended pretty...
Yellow people running around are going to be hard to find.
It's pretty conclusive. But it just... it does, for me, it doesn't work, and I don't like it. The stuff at the house works, but anything beyond that just doesn't work. And like that's always the thing that I've held against that movie. So I'm going to go on a limb and say, and on behalf of Drew, that it just narratively is too much. Like, it changing... often changing the environment... at the end of a movie like that shifts the momentum because you've ostensibly reached the climax of the movie. Get it? Okay. And so the falling action should be all included there. And so this coda where there's a rebuild up of rising action, it's just, I don't have the energy to go about that. And so it sucks. But the majority of the movie I love.
I thought I liked the violence a lot.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's a movie that I like watching. And most of the movies that I think are good that we watch on this podcast, I want to watch once. But Black Christmas is one that I feel like I could watch again and again and again.
I'm probably going to watch it again tonight.
It's good. I like it. You need to pay attention to what the fuck happens this time.
Which is weird because I actually, instead of being on my computer watching it with all sorts of windows open and you know, going back and forth through social media and Reddit, I actually sat on the couch and watched it on my TV with a notebook in hand.
Yeah, and still you don't remember anything about it.
Still can't remember a goddamn thing.
But I think...
That's young.
It's one of my favorite Christmas horror movies, and
yeah,
I just didn't like it.
That's fine.
It's not that I didn't like it. I just
found it unexceptional.
I found it just fine. It was perfectly fine background noise.
Serviceable.
It was a perfectly serviceable thing to listen to while I wrapped my child's presents.
Whoa, hang on a second now.
You should say them here, and then he won't listen to the podcast, and then he won't know.
Or tell him to listen to this podcast and ruin his Christmas.
Yeah.
I didn't say what he was getting.
No, I'm telling you to say it now, and then him not listen to it.
He doesn't listen to this anyway, as much as he would like to.
You won't let him. It's pretty horrific what we say.
It is.
Well, he needs to think of Mama as a classy lady.
And this is not.
And she's
this
so-
is not.
She is.
Well, this is not. You are still a classy lady. It's just, you know.
No.
Well, we get, you know, we mix it up. We get dirty. We go blue on this podcast.
Yeah, this is not for the faint of heart.
We let our hair down, you know.
This is not how I behave in everyday life, guys. This
I don't imagine Tyler is out there telling his, you know, coworkers and stuff, like, hey, you should listen to the podcast.
No. Oh, no.
Because, you know, he wants a certain air of respect. If they listen to this podcast, they'd be like, this fucker.
And they would listen to it and think, oh, my God, this is not very professional.
And then they'd be like, oh, well, I used to drink all the time in college. What died inside of me?
Your liver. That's why you're that color now.
Yeah, that's why I'm so sallow.
All right.
Well, let's end this. I think you know what I'm going to do before our end of the year episode. I think
you're going to say you're going to disguise your voice as Drew. And we go like, I'm Brian. I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew. I can't do a Drew voice.
Is that like?
I'm Drew. I don't know. I can't do that. But I think what I'm going to try to do for next week, since we're not going to have an episode, is I think I'm going to do a banter cast. I think I'm going to pull together some old pre-podcast stuff.
Let me go ahead and stop you there. He says that. Let me tell you what he's going to do. Not that.
Yeah, it would require a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a great idea. I would love to hear it, but it's not going to happen.
Maybe we can pull an old episode, or I don't mind recording something next week. I'm going to be here, so I know
we would record Christmas. No, it's Wednesday night. It's not Christmas Eve.
No,
it's Christmas Eve.
We could do like that time that we left Drew out of the podcast, the Metallica one that we have yet to record.
Yeah, I mean. I would be okay with doing we could just talk about horror movies and like we could do like the Silent Night remake, the Silent Night Deadly Night remake.
Well, I don't want to watch
a real movie with a killer named Billy.
I don't want to watch a movie. I don't want to watch a movie for next week.
Okay, so we could just talk. We could just do a podcast and talk about horror movies,
and then we'll call it. You could put it out
Christmas
as
cast.
Certainty and horrible podcast.
Horrible podcast.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Would you be up for that, Loner?
Where were your allegiances lie, Tyler?
I don't have allegiances. This isn't Xbox, PlayStation. Like, I want them both to do well. Although, would you guys be willing to do voices for... I'm doing a produced episode where I'll need people to do voiceover. Would you guys do that?
What do you mean? Explain.
I'm doing an episode about Jack the Ripper, and I want people to read the excerpts and stuff.
Yeah, I'll do that. That sounds fun.
Okay. So, because I've pulled some of the mortuary... documents and stuff like that.
Oh, no. I have to be able to do it in my British waif voice.
I knew that's exactly what you were
saying. Come on, blimey,
sir.
Maybe.
I got turned up on that knife of yours.
Oh, yeah, I'd be fine with that, I guess.
Poor blimey, he split me where God, he kissed me where God split me.
God. I guess that's sort of my charge, is I have to do that.
Yes.
I'm going to recommend Black Christmas. I think this movie is well worth the watch.
I think it's very violent. It's, you know, even though the killers look like the Wayans brothers from White Chicks. Yes.
Lona, you're going to say no, don't watch this movie.
And we're going to speak on behalf of Drew, who just appeared halfway through because
his internet.
His internet. But I'm going to go out on a limb for Drew and say what Drew would say. he got turnt on this movie.
Yep, he turnt up.
I keep saying serviceable because I asked Drew how In the Heart of the Sea was last weekend. I thought about taking Jackson, and his response was, it was a perfectly serviceable film. That's like, thanks, robot.
That's not a recommendation.
I know. I was like, what? I mean, it's like saying it was a movie. I went.
Did you want to sit more stationary for an hour?
Sometimes images moved across my eyes and sounds entered my ear. Oh, Drew, we love you.
All right. So
never like this episode.
Maybe a weird episode next week.
Sure.
Maybe. Let's do it. I say let's do it. We don't even have to record it on Wednesday. We can record it whenever because I don't have school.
I do have to work. But
yeah. So, but I mean, you know, at night.
I got you.
All right.
All right. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And we'll see you next time. Get drunk on Christmas. Whipped cream vodka. Turn.
Oh, shit, I didn't record.